And everybody can claim as much relation as you want to, right? Praise God. We appreciate you being in the house of God tonight. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to speak tonight on the house of God too, as in two. And I want to look back at Haggai chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we'll read some in Revelation in a minute. Remember, next Sunday at 10:30, we're not sure exactly what we're going to do. I have to check in with the doctor and see if I can say anything and how long it's going to be before I can say anything. But I am looking forward to saying something as soon as I can and saying it clearer. Someone asked me the other day, did you ever have a clearer voice than now? And I said, oh, yeah. They said, were you loud? I said, oh, yeah. But we're closing in on almost 2 years of being raspy and not loud. So it will be what it will be when it's over. The coming glory of God's house. And Haggai wrote this at 520 BC. Now, I did look up how to pronounce Haggai. And you can Haggai or Haggai. So if I go back and forth, it's because I know it's okay. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And the remnant are the people that were coming back from the captivity in Babylon. And how do you see it now? Do you remember what it used to look like? How does it look now? In comparison with it, is it not in your eyes as nothing? Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all of you people of the land, says the Lord. And work. Amen. Be strong and work. How many remember Maynard G. Krebs? Come on. There's a few of you that remember. And when Dobie Gillis would say, work, Maynard G. would say, work. Kind of like he was afraid of it. He played a beatnik. How many knows what a beatnik is? Yeah, it's going back. This is history almost as old as this coming from Haggai. So be strong and work. Now I got to find out where my place was. And for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, once more, in just a little bit, I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and dry ground, and I will shake all the nations that they shall come to the desire. And that desire is capitalized in my reading, in this New Living Translation. Come to the desire of all nations and prophetic unto beyond even now. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for mercy. We pray blessing and strength upon your word. We pray, Lord, that you'll just encourage and lift our hearts in your mercy and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Haggai was, as Zechariah, sent to encourage. To encourage Zerubbabel and Joshua in the big job they had to do. To encourage and to lift them up in their spirit. But it was a job that God wanted done. He didn't want it to be let go. If you read the book of Haggai and you start off with the first chapter, God says, hey, you guys are living pretty good there. You've fixed your houses up and you're doing all right. But he said, my house is laying in ruin. I want you to get to work on my house. Because just as sure as we need a place, God wanted a place where they could come and worship him. And this is much the same emphasis as this morning, that the house of God is an important place for fellowship, for believers, and to fellowship with God. Now, when we talk about the first temple that Solomon built, and the budget that he had, and the beauty of all that was there, this looked like maybe, I don't know, it looked maybe like it was not very competitive. We do a lot of building, and according to how much money you spend, you can get more if you spend more. And if your budget's rather tight, then you have to settle for less than that. That's the way it is, and it's the way it was with this temple as well, that God wanted them to rebuild it because he wanted a place of connection. But he just because they didn't have what Solomon had did not mean that he wanted them just to forget about it. He said, go get the material out of the mountains and let's get this house put together. There's speaking of former glory. How many's ever been at the Naval Air Station in Alameda? If you've gone to see the Hornet, which is set up there, it's a museum, you've gone in there. I used to have a pass on my car to get me through the gate so I could drop mom off at work. And I remember the glory of that base. When you came up to the guard station, there was a Marine there. He was armed. And you didn't just come in there and slough off their traffic laws or anything else. If you got on that base, you better behave. You better behave because they would be on you and you would be escorted out in a hurry if you got out. But I was always impressed. You come up to the gate and they did something like this, which means you can come through. If they said you can't come through, you better stop. That's just all there is to it. But what was on that base was our airplanes, and you'd see big jets coming and going, and the big ships parked there. Debbie and I got to visit the Enterprise back in 74, 75, something like that. And it's beautiful, big aircraft carrier. I think one of the first anyway that was nuclear. And I was so impressed. I was always, when we went on the base to visit, I was always impressed with how that the military carried on. It was neat. But we've been there since then to see the Hornet. And of course the military base is gone because the government closed a bunch of bases down. And to go in there, I still see that plane that sits on the little grassy area as you drive in, but there's no guards. And anybody can come and go in there. It's a sad thing. The planes are gone. They have the Hancock there is a museum, but they don't have all of the glory of what used to be there. That used to be one of the big centers for naval air in the world. But amazing how it was arranged and how beautiful it was. And I look at it now and I'm disappointed. And I imagine that's how these people felt when they look at the new temple. When you think of new, you think, oh, it's got to be better, but it wasn't. But God said, it's not about the beauty nor the money that you've spent. It's about the glory that's going to come here. Because God knew that he would send his son and that Jesus would be at this temple. That Jesus would cleanse it a couple of times, visit as a child, and be dedicated there. And that glory was great. But there's even a greater glory coming, and that's going to be after the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus sets up his millennial reign, and there will be a temple there. And then eventually beyond that, there's going to be the holy city that's going to be in that area. And that's going to be awesome. If you want to look with me in the book of Revelation, there's two sections of scripture I want to read. The first is verses 1 through 8. Revelation's 21, 1 through 8. And the second will be the same chapter, verses 22 and 23. The glory of the temple when Jesus is ruling and reigning for 1,000 years will blow the socks off of anything that's ever been there. Now I want to tell you something. And then the glory of the holy city will be bigger and better and bolder and more wonderful than ever has been upon this earth. And it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Can you imagine that? I like to watch the sea, but you come to the edge of the sea and you've got miles before you can see anything else. And the sea are going to be done away with, and there will be lakes, and there will be rivers, and there will be water. There will be waterfalls more than ever before. It'll be beautiful. I promise you. If not, come and tell me about it, and I'll register your complaint. Look me up. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is a beautiful description that the holy city is 1,500 miles, like I said this morning, either cubed or pyramided, 1,500 miles. I remember years ago that a preacher was preaching about this, and he said, that's as far as from here to Oklahoma City. How many remember when Oklahoma was the capital of the Pentecostal Church of God? And I don't mean that literally. I mean that most people had come from Oklahoma. And so that was a landmark that everybody was aware of, from here to Oklahoma City. You think about that and think about it going east, west, north, and south, and straight up. Then that's what you're going to have with the holy city. So when you see that coming down from God out of heaven, that's going to be pretty impressive. And I believe that the Lord is going to pull us up and renovate the earth and make the changes he wants to make. How many remembers creation? Let there be light. And God in 6 days created everything. Some people say, oh, that's just a symbol that God took many, many millions of years. But I believe he did it one day because he's God. We can't do that. They told Jesus in the lesson that, or the message that we read this morning, it took 46 years to build this temple. How are you going to do it in 3 days? With Jesus glorified, he can do it in 20 seconds. That's the power of our Creator God. But we're going to be taken away and the earth is going to be changed. And I believe with all of my heart, We're going to be brought back down and we're going to watch this. Everybody likes to watch things blow up. I mean, there's a big crowd that gathers when a building is demoed. People love to watch that kind of thing. And then building is slow, but demo is quick. But when God brings the new Jerusalem down out of heaven, it's going to be beautiful. And I believe that there's going to be great cheers and great praise and great honor to the Lord for his ability and power. This speaks of a bride adorned for her husband. It's going to be beautiful every way. I've seen brides that were nice looking, but on their wedding day, they were beautiful. I want to say that carefully. But this is going to be something that's going to knock everybody's socks off. It's going to be so amazing what the Lord does. And he said, I heard a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear. How many times have we read this at the time of someone's passing? Because it's a tearful time. It's a sad time. But God's going to wipe away all the tears forever. We won't need to cry. We won't need that emotion. We won't need that because heartbreak is gone. There'll be no more death. That's a good reason to shout and not to cry. Nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain. Henry, think about that. No more pain. When we walk around and we walk from place to place, we, you know, sometimes have an owie, a pain going on. But there'll be no more pain. It's all going to be gone. For the former things have passed away. Everything that people knew that were binding and hurting. I remember years ago hearing a small child, 3 or 4 years old, and he told his dad, who was kind of an irresponsible guy, he worked for us, but he was marginal in everything he did. And the little kid said, I'm going to go to work and pay the light bill. And I thought, oh, I hate to see a child have to worry about a light bill. But that's what environment that he came out of. No little children have to worry about a light bill in heaven. No one will have to worry about anything. You won't have anyone calling you saying, where's our money? It'll all be taken care of. Former things are gone. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words are faithful. For these words are faithful, are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. When I hear the words, it is done, I think of the words that Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Without Jesus saying it is finished on the cross, God would not be able to say it is done at this point. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him that thirsts. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. You're going to be a partner with God in everything that heaven and the earth and the whole atmosphere is. You're going to belong and you're going to be a partner. And he's going to show you his love. He's your God and you're his child. Inherit all things. I'll be his God and he'll be my son. But, you know, there's some people that's just not going to make it. I hate to say that. I wish that everybody would sign up and believe in Jesus. But there's the cowardly. There was a lot said about the guy that shot up 17 of his, classmates of the school where he had attended, being a coward. It's always cowardly to take a gun and massacre people who have no gun or no way of defending themselves. Cowardly. Unbelieving. The abominable. The murderers. Sexually immoral. Sorcerers. Adulterers, And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. You see two pictures? One of them is good, the holy city of God coming down from heaven. But one of them, the other side of that coin, is not so good. It says that their part will be in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I wish the world would wake up to the deception of the devil, to the glorification of self that thinks they're going to escape the judgment of God. It's appointed unto all men once to die, and after that there's going to be a judgment. And it's based on how we handle Jesus Christ our Lord, how we believed or if we've rejected. We that believe are going to enjoy the splendor, the glory, the power, the presence of God, and it'll be greater glory than the earth has ever known. There's nothing as beautiful that you can see now that won't be greater in heaven forever. It'll be absolutely awesome. Let's skip down to verses 22 and 23. Scripture says, but I saw no temple in it. No temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So Jesus took on the position of being the temple, the holy place. And we're going to be able to see God on his throne. We're going to be able to see Jesus. I believe strongly that we're going to feel one-on-one with Jesus, every one of us. You say that's impossible. It's impossible with us, but not with him. The city has no need of sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. I'm not so sure that the sun and the moon are going to be gone, but I am sure of this, that the glory of God will outshine the sun and the moon. And the moon will kind of take a lesser place because there's no night. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. You don't have to sleep. We're not going to waste 8 hours, 6 hours, 4 hours. We're going to be able to go all the time. For the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Even in the darkness that we live in, Jesus is the light. I'm so thankful that we know him, and he is our Lord. Everyone here has that ticket to go to be with the Lord. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever. And every day is going to be more glorious than yesterday. It's going to be awesome. I don't know how time is going to be. We may throw away all the clocks. I don't know. But I know this, that the glory of that place is absolutely beautiful. We're going to pray tonight, and we're going to seek the Lord for a few minutes. And I know that everyone has something that you would like from God. What I would like from God is to see our hearts stirred with the Holy Spirit. I would like to see God just ministering to us in every way. I'd like to see him in all parts of our life and helping us and directing us, giving, how many could use answers on a particular situation? You need an answer. You need God to help you with something that you don't think you can do. Give you strength, give you help. There's always the healing. There's always the strength. And I know we have lost family members that need Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness, I do. And right now, some of them are in such a mess. But God is able. God is so able. God is so able. So we're going to, Debbie, would you come to the piano? And we're going to give folks just a chance to call on the name of the Lord God, however you're comfortable. I used to be a big fan of kneeling at the altar, but there are some days where my My right knee might make it and the left knee is counts out. And I'm not a, I don't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you position yourself, but just that we seek the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray together. Thank you. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song, what a day that will be, because we don't have a clue of how glorious it's going to be. But we know it's going to be something, and we're not going to be disappointed. I've been to a lot of things that was promised to be something real special. And left thinking, that was no big deal. Nobody's going to get to heaven and say it's no big deal. They're going to say, wow, the half was not yet told. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, bless your people. Strengthen each and every one physically. Lord, strengthen each and every one spiritually. Provide your blessing of finance, Lord. I pray that you'll bless us with the work that we're doing. Help us, Lord, to be a great light for you in this world that we live in. Bless and strengthen our families and reach out into the lost of our families and friends and save them. Lord, bring a conviction of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and let them yield to you so that they can join in our eternity. We honor and give you glory. Be your powerful self within us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.